This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Try to go back to Horvat on the slot. It came to Miller, left circle. Now here's Pettersson with a one-timer, right circle. He scores. Elias Pettersson tees one up, set up by Quinn Hughes. Pass went off his skate and came to Drouin. Jonathan Drouin back in on the left wing. In front, they score. Ryan Poehling.
With the instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Canucks have it deep. Horvat sits in front. Garland scores. As Bo Horvat picked up a turnover to the left corner and just threw it right to the goal mouth. Connor Garland deflects it past Jake Allen. He's got his seventh of the year, and the Canucks lead 2-1 before the seven-minute mark of the second period.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks win. Yes, they do. Beating the Montreal Canadiens 2-1 on the road. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650 or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. The Canucks found a way to win this game. And Bick, we talked about it in the second intermission. Can the Canucks close this one out? They had a 2-1 lead heading into the third period against the Boston Bruins. The Bruins pulled it up. They took over. They win that game easily last night. Tonight, it got a bit dicey late. They had to rely on Thatcher Demko standing on his head and making an incredible two-pad stack save.
Stack on stack on stacks.
Just like diamonds. I made that save late to help preserve the victory for the Vancouver Canucks. And it got dicey late, too, because Tyler Motte had an empty net with about 15 seconds to go, misses it. And we're like, oh, my gosh.
Had all day to shoot.
Oh, my gosh. And we're like, oh, this is going to end up going the other way. It doesn't end up as a goal. The Canucks win this 2-1. And hey, listen, the Habs are a team with a worse record than the Vancouver Canucks. This was not a dominant win by any measure, but it is still a victory where they held on to win, and they did outchance the opposition in critical moments, and that is something this team has just not done enough this season, but they did tonight, and that is why they won this game.
For sure. And, you know, I sat here in the second intermission, and what did I say I wanted to see? A predictable result. Act like it's a bad movie, and you know how the game is going to end. And that's what they got. I think they did, by and large, a good job in that third period. You know, I haven't looked at the high danger chances exactly, but it sure doesn't strike me as a...
The Canucks had the edge, 3-2.
Yeah. And so I think that's a good job by Vancouver.
Yep.
Stay on the front foot. Yeah, you're going to absorb a little pressure in the late end, and that's what you got to be ready for. And they were there. In the one moment that they needed Thatcher Demko, he was there in spectacular fashion to get the two-pad stack over. And, you know, there's an evolution to Thatcher Demko's game that we're really enjoying. Now, remember the Rangers moment mm-hmm. where he does the Scorpion save?
Yes.
This was another shining moment to hang on to 2 points where the pads come out and it looks stylish and you do a little kick save. And it just goes to show, like, this guy is taking that next step into a stellar, like, top 10 goaltender.
Well,
he's comfortably in that conversation.
And it's impressive because he had a rough showing in Columbus, and he bounces back with a big showing. And we talked to Reach about this, about maybe how his game, he hasn't been as sharp in some recent games. A part of that could have been how the Canucks have struggled. When you don't quite trust what your teammates are doing and you're in a rough spell, you can get away from your technique. You can start cheating a little bit. You lose the center of your net at times. You're trying to predict the play instead of just doing what you need to do naturally. So sometimes what Ian Clark's done in those situations is to give a guy a night off, do a bit of a reset, work with him closely, and usually that ends up with a better performance. So give Thatcher Demko credit and whatever tweaks he made, because he was stellar tonight for the Vancouver Canucks as they win in Montreal 2-1 over the Habs. A lot of reaction on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Sam in Lake Cowichan, ha ha ha, take that media. See, we don't need changes. What a great effort. That is Sam in Lake Cowichan dunking after a 2-1 win in Montreal.
I guess. I mean, it wasn't...
Hey, they won. They
yeah,
won.
No, look,
they won the game.
They got their 2 points. It wasn't necessarily an overly well-played game.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, let's be fair. What did we say after some games where they played fine and lost? You got to get results.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you got a result tonight, I'm not going to poo-poo the result. No. We said it's time to get results. You got a result one night. tonight in Montreal. What else can you do? You got Ottawa coming up on Wednesday. That's an opponent before you come back home to face the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday. Can you make it two wins in a row? Something this team has only done once this season. To show you how bad the Habs are, they had a chance to win two games in a row for the first time this season. The Habs have yet to win two games in a row at any point this season. The Canucks have done it once. We'll see if they can do it for a second time on Wednesday against the Ottawa Senators. Bick, but before we go to the text inbox, 650-650, what else is happening on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox?
Yeah, this one, Peter, battle of the NHL basement, yawn. When is Green going? When is Benny going? Marcus says, hey, slow down. It's only 2 points. We need 10, only need 10 more points to be a playoff team. Holman says, if nothing else, this win gives them confidence. And you know, I imagine a lot of people are going to be looking at a player like Elias Pettersson. One-timer goal, power play goal. That's the sort of stuff that you want to see of a player that, boy, did he need it. Need a confidence boost.
Yes.
And I imagine a goal like that and a win like this hopefully starts to spring some level of confidence for him.
Yeah, a lot more text coming in. Timbo Slice, another 8 years and we should be playoff contenders. Kareem, tonight was like winning a relegation game. So not everybody is convinced. However, others do feel good. Brandon Napoco, watch out, Sat. The Canucks showed up like you. Well, because we are here for every single postgame show. We show up no matter what for the show.
Yeah, we're here.
We do this. We show up. No, Brandon is being supportive. Brandon Napoco gives love. Don't worry, Bick. Bick was like seeing red. Don't worry. This was a good one. This was a nice one. Babbage Stash texts in and says, incredible game by Thatcher Demko. Demko's back. What a save at the end. He pulls off some serious dominator stuff. That was a fun one. Finally, games like that for the rest of the year, and I'm happy. Can we be entertained at least? At least be entertained, even if you can't go far. It was more entertaining tonight. It was more entertaining tonight. They found a way to win the game. Give them credit on a night where they snapped a four-game losing streak, even if it was against the Montreal Canadiens. Let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We go to Surrey, where Raj is on the line. Raj, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, how's it going? After watching the last five games start to finish, I'm just happy that they got a win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Demko played lights out. I don't know, though. I was watching the game. I was getting a little scared. The Canadians don't have much offense or really dangerous players to score. So I don't know. I don't know how next game's going to go, but I'm just happy for today.
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Raj. And, you know, even if you want to see change in the organization, they can't lose every single game. Right. And even if you want a high draft pick at the end of the year and all these things to kind of happen, what you don't want is for things to get even uglier and uglier as the season goes on. And, you know, even when we talked about, you know, this a few games ago, despite the fact, you know, there's a lot to criticize here for what the team's done and how far it's gone and the changes that need to be made and what has to be done and how they have to set this team on the right course again in the future so they can get to a position where they are competitive year to year, like earnestly competitive, not this, you know, trying to play meaningful games late in the season as opposed to, you know, actually being a contender. But I don't want to see a situation here where you're seeing these guys have their heads down the whole entire season. It's not a good environment. And even if the guys you want to see gone, but the guys are going to stay here, it's another really bad experience for them. You can't have a season just go completely off the rails, start to finish. That doesn't help anybody progress next year.
It's all of a sudden those Edmonton years.
Yeah.
Where players are playing for themselves, not learning those good traits. And, you know, for all the talk of, well, they've had veteran leadership and those players need to take that step. Hey, you still don't want that to seep into your organization. You still have young players. I shudder to use the word, but impressionable players of Nils Höglander and Vasily Podkolzin, Jack Rathbone, you would hope at some point into your regular lineup. You still have those players that are going to learn NHL traits. So foster an environment, even in a lost season. You still have to foster the environment to try to have a successful process and still try to be, hey, on the ice, this is how we are meant to play. And, you know, one thing, if, like, a coaching change happens and all this sort of stuff, you need to develop what the style of play is going to look like now for 5 years. And you have the luxury of saying, well, let's use these 50 games to start doing that. 40 games, however long it is, to start mapping that out and say, hey, this is the new way the Vancouver Canucks are going to play. Or maybe it's fine-tuning how they already are planning. But either way, you have to start developing what that looks like with Elias Pettersson, with Quinn Hughes, with Vasily Podkolzin, Nils Höglander, and that cluster of players that you know is going to be here because you have club control over them for 5 years. That's what you have to start looking at this and utilizing. And I know nobody wants to hear, you know, moral victories and the positives in a very dark time right now for Vancouver, but that's the situation they're in. You have to do everything to take the right step out of darkness.
Well, yes, and also, can we start seeing the best from some of those players? Tonight, we saw a bit closer to Elias Pettersson's best, but still not at the level we've seen, but it has been getting closer. There are still some improvements happening in his game, right? We haven't seen anywhere near Besser's best. We haven't seen anywhere near Bo Horvat's best. These are key players for this team, and I want to see that ceiling shine again, at least give us an indication that it's still there, that you're able to go there and able to still progress as a hockey player. And that's one of the problems that I see in this season. Not enough players have progressed this year. So for the rest of the season, playoffs or not, or chasing for a playoff spot, I don't even care about that. What I care about is seeing some signs of improvement and development from these key players in this Canucks organization.
Right before we go back to the phone lines here, good text here. Guys, it's a good win on the backside of a back-to-back.
Yeah,
for sure. Hey, got their 2 points, and I know there's people that are like, oh, just lose more and end this with Benning and Green, all that sort of stuff. Nobody wants to see a 49-point team.
No.
And you have to get Ws.
Let me just say this. We're in a position that we don't know day-to-day what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Benning's quote, we live day-to-day. This entire organization right now is day-to-day trying to figure out what to do next, right? Anything can happen between now and any future minute or hour, right? But the understanding I had, Bick, and I mentioned this before the road trip, they want to get through the road trip and come back to Vancouver. So I don't think no matter what happened, unless you come to a decision finally, figure things out, it wasn't going to be during this trip where something happened. So I understand people's frustrations. They want to see something happen. Does this change where that goes on Thursday or Friday? We will see. It will be key to see what this organization does ahead of that home game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll see what happens by that point. And also, let's see what happens on Wednesday in Ottawa against the Senators. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to Abbotsford, where Sam is on the line. Sam, thanks for calling in. Hope you're well. What do you have for us tonight?
Hello.
Oh, I guess this is Gary. Gary, thanks for calling in.
Hi, first of all, I just called about 2 seconds ago, and then
we got you on now. I think you got on right away. So you're the lucky one. You skipped the hold and got right on the air. This is great.
Just a second. I'm going to tell my Alexa to stop. Hold, stop, Alexa. Thank you. I have one of those little
very good
hockey pucks.
All right, what you got for us tonight, Gary?
I'm going to tell you this. At the end of the game, I saw Tyler Myers breathe a sigh of relief, hug the whole team. That's the way it should be. I don't know what you feel like, but they're a family. They're a team, but it's still a family. And families stick together. They fight together. They lose together. We're not over the hump by any means, but I tell you something. In the last 5 minutes and that save by Demko, are you joking?
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Gary. And you know what? Even if you want to see things change, there is still the human level that these players are still going through. Listen, we've been critical of their play. God knows, right? And we've talked so much about how much better they have to be. Coaches, players, all this sort of stuff, right? But you still see the relief when you finally win a hockey game, right?
Yeah.
They're still, like, you know, as much as they're getting paid, they're human, they're professional athletes, all this sort of stuff, it's really hard to lose as much as this Canucks team has. So when you're a fan, you see the reaction, you see kind of the elation a little bit, just on a human level. Forget what you think is going to happen the rest of the season. It's nice to see them get a break through all this for a moment.
If you're a restaurant where you know the doors are going to close on you forever, you know, pretty soon in a couple of months, but you have a break-even day,
yes,
or a record-breaking day, you just go, hey, look at that. You know, we haven't served as many people as we would hope. But you know what? Tonight, we did what we needed to do.
Yes.
A lot of people wanted the special tonight.
Yeah. You got the special tonight. Special order.
You got to be happy when you take it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650. Go to Abbotsford. Sam, we got you this time. Hope you're well. And what do you have for us tonight?
Yeah, hey guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, no, kind of like the last caller said there, I think it was this time it was another good moral victory,
yeah.
One where they actually won.
Mm-hmm.
I think the roster they have is fairly decent. Just kind of stating the obvious here, but the roster's fairly decent. It could be improved upon, of course, but I think just like, I think kind of like everybody knows, like the organization, just it's just promoting poor culture. And I think they need a fresh coach, fresh management. And I think these guys, they have it in them. Like, I mean, they should have been able to beat Montreal better than they did tonight even, right, with the roster they have. So I think if they just get, like, they just need a new, like the coach is the glue of the team, right? So you can say, like, yeah, the guys go out there and they have a, like, you expect more effort, you expect more from the guys. But, I mean, if they're not, like the coach is the conductor of it all, right? Like, he's supposed to make it all, like, work really nice together. And if that's not happening, well, I mean, yeah, you can blame the coach. The guys, they have their skill individually, but the coach is supposed to make it all blend nicely, right? So.
No, I hear you. Thanks for the phone call. That is Sam calling in from Abbotsford. And as far as that entire blend goes, yeah, it's left a lot to be desired this season, right? And these are all fair things to talk about. And this is why I pose the question. You guys can also let us know here on Dunbar Lumber text inbox 650-650. What does this win, if anything, signify the rest of the season? Hey, one win doesn't mean anything. It never does. It's just one win. The question is, how much of this game can you slowly start translating to next game, the game afterwards? And how do you slowly get out of where you're at? Because we can agree this Canucks team potentially is in a lost season, right? They're on pace for just over 50 points at this stage. But the thing is, they shouldn't be at this pace the whole season.
No.
Can you play at a respectable clip moving on? Can your game improve? Can you get closer and closer to looking like a cohesive team? Because that hasn't happened so far this season. So to Sam's point, no matter who's behind the bench in a week or so's time or whatever happens, the rest of the season, this cohesiveness and this team playing like a team that can actually show its ceiling, like I mentioned, individual players show their ceiling, I want to see this roster ceiling. And once we figure that out, that'll give us a better indication of what really needs to be done in this offseason and moving forward, and which guys are part of the solution and which guys you realize are part of the problem.
It's the longest evaluation process now that's going to be laid out for you, because seasons aren't supposed to end in November. They're just not.
No.
And I know people are still going to be hopeful of, hey, go get 2 points and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But this is now turned into essentially a 59-game evaluation process. And that is dark, and that is a terrible outcome, but that's what we have to do. You have to use, from this point moving forward, what is the best version of ourselves? What gets us closer to winning a Stanley Cup? And it's not just about winning a Stanley Cup this year, in general. What ideas and what evaluation processes chart us on a course that we start trending towards a Stanley Cup? And so you got to use these 59 games, and collectively, everyone's got to what you're talking about. What is each other's individual upside? What is our roster upside? What is our long-term goal here?
Mm-hmm.
What is our buy-in from everyone?
You need to figure out how much of this mix works and how much of the mix doesn't work.
Yeah. And
right?
Again, you're not meant to have 59 games to evaluate that. Usually it's the final 20 games of a season. And Yannick Hansen brings that up all the time of, when the season gets lost, people start playing for themselves.
Yes.
And I'm going to be interested to see what Yannick says tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on 650, because, okay, look, you get a W, and not that it changes a whole lot for the season, but what does these next 59 games mean now? How are you utilizing them as a strength for your organization? Because this is a long runway to be able to evaluate everything.
Yeah.
It's your perspective on everything. And 59 games, you got to utilize that to explore what your organizational upside is with these players.
Exactly. And right now, we haven't seen that happen yet. We're seeing some better signs in some recent games. Tonight was a bit better, especially better than what it was last night in Boston. But it's about stringing these games together consistently. That's when you start seeing the team come together. And that's what they failed to do by virtue of the fact they haven't won back-to-back games more than once so far this season. So this is a great one win. It's a great starting point. It all comes down to what you do from this point on just to start looking like a better, more cohesive team moving forward. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We go to Courtney, where Wayne is on the line. Wayne, what do you have for us tonight?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks to Josh for taking my call.
you know, I think of that saying, desperate times calls for desperate measures. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't the laughing stock of Vancouver City playing a lower team or one of the lower teams on a 2-3 game win streak, you know, had they lost tonight, they would have been the laughing stock of the city, but they won. And, you know, it's only one game, but they're going to have to convince us more and pull out a boxcar Willie like 50 freight trains rumbling through Maple Ridge and Poco, you know. And, you know, when it comes to consistency, you know, tonight's game, you know, it wasn't stellar five-star, but, you know, it was 60 minutes, and they played 60 minutes. And, you know, players, if you're listening to this sports
Yeah, thanks for the call, Wayne. Sorry, I got to cut you off because we have head coach Travis Green at the podium.
Brought in the ringer.
All right, we're going to start with the questions from the room.
Thanks. Travis, what does this win mean tonight for your group? What does it mean to you personally?
Well, it's nice to get a win. I mean, our team played well again tonight and found a way to get it done.
How good do you feel for Elias after some pressure he's been under here for him to score a goal like that on a power play?
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it's a lot of pressure on him, and hopefully this is a step in the right direction to see the old PD back.
What can that do for his confidence?
A lot, yeah, especially when we won.
I'll try to put it in a weird word for you, by the way. The team has continued to play really hard under these circumstances. You've talked a lot about the white noise. How pleased are you that the guys seem to be focusing on the job at hand?
Yeah, I am. You know, it's hard right now. There's a lot of adversity, it feels like, around our group. We talked about that before the game. When things are going tough and going through adversity, it shows a lot about a player, an individual, shows a lot about a team, how you respond, and talk about character and times like this reveal a lot about players and teams.
To say that both teams are having a tough start would be an understatement. And it was two teams that needed a win.
Yeah.
From upstairs, anyway, it looked like structure didn't matter. Effort, speed, goals, and try to win was the pure case. Was that the same feeling that you had behind?
I think it was. Well, obviously, both coaches are going to say structure matters. I think both teams wanted to play a similar game. We talked about, you know, before the game that we're going to have to play on our toes tonight. They play a very quick game. They're in your face. They're on top of you with their forwards, and their D are aggressive as well, and we're going to have to play fast tonight. You worry about that sometimes on a back-to-back game, and I thought all four lines were contributing to the style of game that we wanted to play tonight.
How crucial was Thatcher's performance tonight?
Yeah, it was good tonight. But both goalies were good.
We'll move to Zoom with a question from Brian Balshi, TSN.
Travis, you were asked about PD earlier today, and his ice time has gone down a little bit the last few games. How difficult is that to do with a player of his stature and importance to the organization? And do you think it yielded some positive results tonight?
As far as difficulty, I mean, we look at each player's individual game and try to address it, what they need in order for our team to win and what they need for the player to play his best. I've talked to Petey a lot over the last little while. We've talked about it, about his ice time and the way we'll approach things right now. He's been putting some extra work in off the ice. He's been putting a little extra work in on the ice as well. And, you know, I think for him it's about climbing back up the mountain and taking it one step at a time.
What about your penalty kill tonight, especially in the third period?
Yeah, they got the job done tonight. I was happy for them.
Thank you, Coach, and thank you all for...
And that is Canucks head coach Travis Green after a 2-1 win in Montreal against the Canadiens. And this is a Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Low Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. It is Satyar Shah with Bick Nazar. Get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. And before we get to some reaction here, Bick, just to kind of react to what head coach Travis Green had to say. And he was asked about whether this team kind of had to not worry about structure and just go out and create. And it was kind of interesting the way he answered the question. First, he said, yeah, and said they have to play on their toes. It's not like he gave anything away, but something we talked about is they got to start getting back to being what they were before they came into last season, where they were willing to take chances, not trying to be a team they're not capable of being.
Are you suggesting they got to be the bubble team?
Well, no. No. Don't bring up the bubble team. Because when this team talks about bubble team, they're not talking about the 2019-2020 team. They're talking about how they played defensively in the playoffs, right? But how they played in the regular season was pushing the pace, being happy with trading high danger chances because they get goaltending. Do we see more of that tonight? Because there were a bit more breakdowns, but it was a bit more reminiscent to the hockey we saw in 2019-2020, where you were seeing chances go back and forth a bit tonight.
It did kind of feel like two bad teams playing a game.
Yeah.
And there were chances. So was it chances created out of structure, or was it chances created because you're playing effective hockey? And so I think the question is fair. I do think Travis is going to kind of back his guys and say, yeah, this is something we were trying to do and, you know, play on your toes. And so I don't know if the truth lies with the question or the truth lies with the answer. It's probably somewhere in the middle. But I think it's fair to say, like, yeah, this wasn't the most beautiful game to watch, but chances were created and born out of it. Mm-hmm. Just think of the Connor Garland goal. That's a goal that comes out of structure from a mistake. Think of the Ryan Poehling goal. That's a goal that comes out of structure from a mistake. And so when you start, maybe the goals came out of structure, but maybe the overall chances came out of philosophy. It was an interesting question, an interesting answer.
It was interesting. One thing I did notice, though, is the forecheck at times was a bit more aggressive. The two plays we talked about.
Yeah. Below the circles.
Below the circles, right? When you do that, you are putting a bit more pressure and did lead to some turnovers, especially on that Garland goal where Horvat gets the puck away from Josh Anderson, moves it over to Garland, who scores. And Dowling did something similar, got it over to Pedersen, just didn't get enough on it to make the shot dangerous against Jake Allen. We'll get back to more of your reaction on the text box, also on the phone boards, and we'll get to Ian McIntyre coming up just around 8:30 or so on the show coming up in a bit. But Bic, we also have listeners all across the world, and we have Diana right now and Mateo, who are in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, listening. And we also have, well, a listener in Paris who had a very wonderful event.
Yeah, not just a win for the Vancouver Canucks, but on Twitter at Danny Sarajovich or Sarov. Saravovich. Sorry if I got that wrong.
Just Danny? Say Danny. Yeah.
Danny? I was trying to get the Twitter handle right. But he said, just engage, and I'm listening to the Canucks in Paris at 2 a.m. The only highlight will be listening to the postgame show. So congratulations on the engagement. That is awesome. In Paris. And still checking in on the Vancouver Canucks as well.
Love it. We'll check in with the fan base. Get your thoughts into our text inbox. Grab a phone line as the Canucks Central postgame show continues, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics and the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Now, more of the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. Join the discussion. Text us at 650-650 or call us at 604-280-0650. This is the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Petrie tees up a one-timer from the line, stopped by Demko. Big rebound for Sherrod, and Demko robbed him by stacking the pads as Hoglander gets it out to center ice.
No, that's Kirk McLean, vintage stacked pads. What a save.
What a save indeed. Thatcher Demko standing on his head late for the Vancouver Canucks as he helps them win 2-1 in Montreal over the Habs. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bic Nizar. Get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. Now, before we go to the phone boards, Bic, let's venture into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. A lot of reaction coming in. This one, Jim, from Jimmy, though, I hate to admit it, but I was cheering for the Canucks to lose this game. So there's been a lot of that as well.
Yeah, some back and forth, some more comments coming in towards Travis Green. Duncan says, Travis is a pro. He will land on his feet and have success in the NHL regardless of what team he coaches. I can hear the whining 5 years from now saying we shouldn't have let him go, but it's still a problem in Canucks Town today. And unsigned here. Garland and Pedersen having their minutes hacked tonight. On a night they both score is just genius. I guess we know who the whole. I guess we know the whole story like Green does.
Well, maybe he has more information.
It's kind of going both ways for Travis Green right now in the text message.
Yeah, a bit of everything, right? And a lot of people pointing out that Montreal's not a very good hockey team, and others pointing out, well, Vancouver's also not a very good hockey team. They're two bad hockey teams. So a lot of that you're seeing in the text inbox. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650. We go to Vish in Delta. Vish, thanks for calling in, my friend. What do you have for us tonight?
Oh, how's it going, guys? It feels good. Canucks win. That always is good. You know, it's weird. This team has me feeling some kind of way. It doesn't feel like we should be this bad. But, I mean, the way I think about it, there's been so many one-goal or two-goal games with an empty netter where this team could have easily won these games if our top six was producing. So I'm trying to think, am I crazy in my optimism for thinking that this team can turn it around and potentially make a push for the playoffs later on?
Hey, Vish, thanks for the phone call. I mean, I wouldn't say crazy.
That's
two
separate ideas.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think you're crazy to believe that this team has been better than they have been through 23 games.
They should have better results, even though they played.
No, just like, if you just look at the talent alone, you would say, oh, they shouldn't be this bad.
Of course, absolutely. I completely subscribe to that.
But to use it in the context of turn it around to get to the playoffs. It's too short of a runway to say they'll sort this out in 59 games. They did so much damage to their season through 23 games.
Well, here's the thing, right? For them to get to, say, a 94, 95 point range, which is what it could take potentially to be a playoff team, that's a really, really hard run. And like Tony mentioned to me on Twitter, maybe 90 points might be the ceiling if you do your best. That might not be enough. So is it crazy?
A lot of things need to go right for you, and a lot of things need to go wrong for a bunch of other teams.
I don't like calling it anything crazy, right? In sports, things happen, all that sort of stuff, right? But just to illuminate how difficult it's going to be, they have to go on a better run than what the Blues went on the year everyone points to the Blues. And I'm not talking about getting to 99 points, just getting to 94 points. They got to go on a better run the rest of the way than the Blues had to go on. And we refer to the Blues as once-in-a-generation type of run, right? Yeah. So that just kind of shows you how difficult it is. Now, what is the ceiling? How high can they get up? Somebody else texted in and said, I hate the fact that they're going to get better as the season goes on and end up with a, you know, 14th overall, 15th overall draft pick, at least be bad to get a higher draft pick. To me, Bick, the issues with this team, there's so many bigger issues going on
than just one
than
draft
worrying
pick.
About a high draft pick, right? I totally understand. I get it. Like, if we're talking academically in a vacuum, yeah. Hey, black or white, would you rather have a bad season with a high draft pick or a mediocre season with missing the playoffs and picking 14th? Yes, of course. But considering where this organization is, considering where this group of core players and talented players they have together are, and how players may not be happy about what's going on, and then what you have to do long term, if this year ends up with the Canucks being so bad that they end up with a top bottom three or four record in the league, I think that creates far bigger problems and questions for this organization moving forward, that having a high draft pick may not necessarily matter unless somehow you win the lottery and get Shane Wright. Like, unless something like that happens.
But even then,
you're talking about it's a very small chance. And when do the Canucks ever win the lottery anyways? My point is, so much damage would have to be done. I'm not sure it's worth the trade-off of getting the fifth overall pick again.
Sure. For sure. And just to single out, hey, but maybe you land Shane Wright. You got to figure out so many other things as an organization prior to what this first round pick is going to be. Like the Oilers with McDavid, right? That's they have Connor freaking McDavid on
and
their
line. It was still a clown show for a long time.
Yeah. And so you need to figure out all the edges in an organization. How are you winning off of the ice?
Yeah.
How are you winning? Figure out the parameters in which people need to have success in their jobs. Jeff Molson did a press conference today and very clearly outlined, hey, this GM job, this executive level job is now two. I need two people to do this job to oversee everything. And so that's understanding the processes of how things have to go about things.
Yeah.
The Vancouver Canucks need to do an internal scope of the entire organization. Mm-hmm. How are we winning? Like, the goaltending department is an area they're winning in. How do you facilitate that in other parts of your organization? And then you can look at, say, hey, 6th overall pick, 19th overall pick, 11th overall pick, 1st overall pick, whatever it is. That's how those guys get implemented and integrated into your organization, and that's where they get set up for development success, mm-hmm. integration into your main roster success, and then that's when you start to see pro success. They aren't winning in enough spots around the organization outside of goaltending. And these next 59 games, everything's on the table. Like, everything needs to be evaluated. And I don't just mean through jobs and saying, oh, Benning's got to go and Green's going to go. Because everything has to get reevaluated. Sports science, travel, like training. Like,
yeah.
Everything needs to get sink your teeth into and figure out why you were on pace for a 50-point season.
Well, exactly. And I don't want to see them be on pace for the same pace the rest of the season. And that's not me accepting mediocrity and saying I'm happy with them just missing the playoffs and ruining their draft position. It's because the issues here are so much bigger and they have to get solved. You got to give it time to figure it out. And I don't mean give it time to save people's jobs. I'm not even talking about that anymore. Like, we'll see what happens. We'll find out. Who knows? We've seen all the reports. We'll ultimately see what happens. But my biggest concern is the health of what you have as an organization moving forward. What works? And how can you build on this? Because I can't accept a rebuild, a full teardown again, and restarting this from the very beginning. You got to get more out of this group, and you got to figure out which of these pieces work together, what you have to improve, and what processes have to be put in place in your organization to allow players to succeed on a more consistent basis. Because here's the thing. We talked about early on that Pettersson came in and played really well his first year. Second year, we saw Hughes play really well as a rookie. Besser play really well as a rookie. How many of those guys have been consistently getting better? And listen, development is not a linear path. You are going to have ups and downs, peaks and valleys, all those sort of things. But it is a fair question. Why have so many of the Canucks players kind of stagnated and not quite taken the leaps they're supposed to be taking? How much of that is coaching? How much of that is organizational structure, environment? Do you have all processes put in place that allows players to become the best versions of themselves? Part of that is just the support systems you have around, the avenues the players can go to improve their game, whether it is player, people you talk to psychologically, people you talked about individual skill-wise, people that work with your body and health and your nutrition, and all the other things you pull as an organization trying to get the best out of your team. And the people you have in charge that can allow players to develop and become the best versions of themselves. And I think overall, that's something this organization has to do better top to bottom, which goes beyond a single coach, a single assistant coach. Those are the things that I think this organization really has to tackle and fix. Because if they do, I still believe there's a lot to build on within this organization.
For sure. And, you know, as you know, the phrase development is not linear, 100% accurate. But that's the goal. Like, you want to create an infrastructure that allows people to naturally progress on this line that you want to project. And so, yeah, guys ebb and flow. Careers are going to hit peaks and valleys. But you want to smooth those out to get and accelerate to the stages of how do you stop the ebbs and how do you increase the flows? And this team, you mentioned a bunch of players. They have stagnated it or dropped even more. You need to get them to be consistent plateau players and continue to smooth out their results.
Who's been here the longest out of the Canucks core players?
Bo Horvat?
Mm-hmm. And Bo Horvat has pushed through the offensive ceiling anybody put on him. So you give credit to that. Remember, he was drafted third line center type of player. Maybe gets 20 goals. I'm not sure he gets more than 50 points or whatever. He's shown he's better than that. He's shown he can provide more offensively. But as far as developing into a two-way player, a really strong two-way player, there's been some incremental improvements, but he hasn't become a strong two-way player. Has he developed as a penalty killer? No, he hasn't. And that goes beyond Travis. That goes even beyond where Travis was here. That goes to Willie D being here. This goes back to the entire organizational outlook. And hey, maybe he's maxed out. Maybe this is just the best version of him. And maybe this is what he is. But if you're trying to evaluate what the organization is doing to get the most out of this player, or this regime is doing to get the most out of this player, have they been able to get the most out of him? How much falls on the organization maybe not being able to take him to that next level? How much is on him? But I think these are fair questions to ask given where the team is at and given where how some of these players are struggling. And I think, again, when we get to the end of the season, this is what I want to see improve. And tonight, step in the right direction. A lot better. You won the game 2-1. We saw some life from Elias Pettersson. We saw some positive signs from the Canucks. Yes, the Habs have a worse record than you do, but all you can judge them on is their latest game, and they played better than the Habs and won 2-1 on the road.
2 points, baby. 2 points. It's all trending in a better direction.
Yes.
In the here and now. In the very here and now. And by here and now, I mean November 29th. Again, this is all about utilizing these 59 games.
Yeah.
Lost season absolutely sucks. Absolutely sucks. But how do you now use these as leverage, as strong leverage points in your organization?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to see. It's the players are going to have to play this out and do what they can. If they make, like, if you make a run for it, whatever, no one's going to complain. It's just like, yeah, the players are always going to try to win. Coaches are always going to try to win. Everybody wants W's.
Yeah.
And in that time, reevaluate your entire organization. Reevaluate your processes from top down.
Well, that's the thing. As somebody texted, I think you guys are overanalyzing everything. The problem with this team starts at ownership and the end at the GM, period. Roster construction. Sure. But roster construction is only one part of it. What I'm talking about, too, is overall what you're doing as an organization to get the most out of the people you have in your organization. Are people in the best position to be successful at everything they do? Is the proper support there? That's what I'm talking about. I agree. You got to do better with moves and all that stuff. It starts at the top. But if we're talking about overhauling things, that's what I want to see be put in place. I think it's easy to say fire this guy, fire that guy, and get rid of this player, get rid of that player. My biggest concern is what you're building as an organization to allow the players you bring in to become the best they can be, right? I know it's a bit of a cliche and all that sort of stuff, but to me, that's what an organization, a regime has to do at the end of the day. No, because sometimes you have misevaluated players or whatever, but whoever you bring in, can you allow those people to reach their potential? And can they provide something positive to you? And I think that's really the future of a lot of organizations that are good. They know how to get the most out of people and what to do to help them get there.
You get the most out of people on the ice?
On the ice. And even off the
ice. I was just going to say, off the ice.
Same thing. If you're asking too much of an individual, if you're asking an individual to do the work of four people, how do you expect that person to be his best?
What do you think is happening right now in this organization? Maybe not four people, but there's a burdensome task on a lot of people in this organization.
Yes.
And so how are they supposed to have success off of the ice? What's their version of winning outside of just the manifestation of 82 games and getting 2 points? These people have to win in their jobs as well to create added value for the product on the ice. It's a team effort. It doesn't just come down to the 20 players that people buy jerseys of. And I'm not suggesting, hey, people are going to have photos of and posters of AGMs in their bedrooms or anything like that. But these are important people in the organization. Scouting staff, training staff, strength and conditioning. How is every one of these people helping to add a little bit of value to the 20 players that have to play every night? That's what this team has to go through right now. And it's got to do it with a fine-tooth comb. And again, usually you don't get the luxury of using 59 games. You have to use this as extra time in your calendar to see immediate translation from our process to results.
Yeah.
Rather than just theoretical in the offseason and let's see if it works. You get to use a new timeline to plot out how your organization is going to do business and do business successfully that translates into better seasons than this.
You're absolutely right, Big. Absolutely right. A lot of reaction coming in on a Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Kraken 1-4-7-4, Canucks still last. That's one text. Texas standings. Yes, we know. Others saying, happy the Canucks won tonight. Parmita from West Van. It's even more of a pleasure listening when the Canucks win. Yes, we've had a lot of losses to talk about. It is more fun when you get some W's as well. Eric in Calgary. Horvat is not a good second two-way player. What are you guys even talking about? I'm sorry to say, he's not a good two-way player. He's average as a two-way player. That's not to say he's bad. But people have this thought that Bo Horvat is this high-end two-way player, like a really, really good two-way player. He's not. The numbers don't back it up. He hasn't been. That's not to say he's bad. He's not, you know, a horrible two-way player. That's not what I'm saying. But he's average. My point is, the thought of Bo was for him to take this step year by year, and as time goes on, becomes this big two-way force. He hasn't been that. He hasn't become that. And that's my question. How much of that falls on what you're doing to develop players, what you're asking of him with this roster the way it's built. Like Tony mentions that these guys are playing too many minutes. EP's playing, Hughes is playing too many minutes, so is Bo Horvat. If those guys are playing too much, doing too many things, do you allow them to be their best? Again, it all kind of falls into, are you putting the people in the right positions to be successful?
Horvat takes a lot of matchup roles. You still have to succeed in that role to be able to get that label of, hey, great two-way defensive center. Patrice Bergeron dominates his matchup and then creates offense from it. But Horvat creates offense in spite of how much time and chances he gives up. He's, again, break-even, high-danger chance style player. The shot metrics can tend to be a bit kind, but as far as high-danger chances throughout the course of his career and his expected goals, usually on the negative end of it. And he's got to be a better player through all of that.
That's the point.
I mean, tonight, that first goal, it's a bad pass by Tucker Pullman that kicks off the entire sequence.
It's bad back pressure by Bo not picking up, not
understanding
who to
pick up. Not even aware of Ryan Poehling, then you coasted. You just assume nobody's going to be on your back shoulder getting to that far post. Ryan Poehling did and skated right past you. That's not good. Christian Dvorak had a play, a one-timer in the second period that goes from, you know, from the top of the point to the bottom right circle. A cross-ice pass that Thatcher Demko's got to move his whole body, which we know that increases goal-scoring chances when the goalie moves and you get a one-timer off. Bo Horvat unplugs his controller and just forgets where to track Christian Dvorak. He wins a puck battle, forces Dvorak to the top of the zone. Dvorak makes a pass out, and he gets out of the zone. And then Horvat gets back into his spot and then just never looks at Dvorak again. And he's wide open for a one-timer. Acres of space. And this pass comes to him, and Demko makes a strong save. That's on Bo Horvat. It happens regularly. It resulted in a goal once tonight, but that happens way more than people realize.
Well, and that's the point that we're making here. He can be better as a two-way player. Duncan texted and says, average, smaverage, a little more Stan Smeal in Bo would be good. Hey, a little more Stan Smeal in anybody would be good.
Absolutely.
Dickinson has been a big letdown this year, and this one says, excuse me, Bick, I have a John Weisbrod poster in my bedroom. So don't be critical. Don't be critical. We're getting a bit of everything in our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We see you on the phone boards. We'll get back to your phone calls as well on the other side as the Canucks Central postgame show rolls on, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. More coming up on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Welcome back to the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. This is where you talk Canucks on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I mean, I feel everything is confidence. And of course, slow start for me personally. I've been having a tendency to overthink, kind of gotten away from hard work. So today I was just thinking to work as hard as possible, and it was definitely nice to get one on the power play too.
A humble and honest Elias Pettersson scoring a goal tonight, helping the Canucks win 2-1 in Montreal against the Habs. Sat and Bick, and this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. You can call in 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650, and also send in your text to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And, you know, Pettersson mentions he kind of got away from hard work.
Yeah.
And
me and Elias Pettersson, kindred spirits. I took two post-game shows off, and me and him getting away from hard work.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I'm here every game, yet Bick, I'm just kidding. But one thing that we heard Travis talk about is get back to hard work and getting back to, you know, doing the things that you do on the other areas in the ice, right? And especially when it comes to Elias Pettersson. And we have remarked about this. When Pettersson's been at his best, he's been fully engaged in all areas of the game, especially defensively as well. Now, we don't know what he's been asked to do. If he's been asked to be, say, the bubble player, to play with that type of playoff intensity and be this, you know, two-way force at all times and score offensively, that might be asking a lot and asking a guy to be at a playoff mode during the regular season, and why don't you try to find ways to make it easier? So I do wonder if there was a bit of, I don't know about friction, but budding of maybe different philosophies about how to be at your best. And just hearing Pettersson say that he was battling confidence, it all comes down to confidence, and saying he needs to work harder. Is that him kind of, you know, doing what the coach wants him to do?
Yeah. The problem is, like, that's not an admission you want to hear now.
No, I don't disagree.
If I'm a fan and I hear that, I'm outraged. I'm like, really? You need to know that hard work is important 23 games into the season? Four seasons into your career? You have to get back to hard work? That's like,
but it was obvious, though, Bick. We don't need him to tell us that. I'm saying it was a humble and honest Pettersson in the moment. But based on his play, we're like, what is wrong with this guy? He's not the same guy. We know he looks different when he's playing his best, or at least playing when he's in form. This is not him in form. And some nights it looked like his effort was questionable.
No, for sure. And tonight, he was good.
He was good. Yes,
again, it was another, like, above baseline performer for me.
Yeah, I'll say this. Okay, the Canucks won, and we give them credit, and I've given Travis credit here, right? We talked about maybe the pre-scouting as well on a couple of plays that helped get him chance to get in that one goal as well, and some things they did better tonight. I'm giving him credit, but in a game like this, when you end up winning 2-1, you need another goal, and you're still created, you know, slightly less high danger scoring chances than your opposition. Why don't you play Pettersson more than 13 minutes in a night he was going as well? Are you giving your team the best chance to win too, right? And yes, you won tonight. It got dicey in the end. Demko stood on his head. And hey, just if Pettersson played 3 or 4 minutes more doesn't mean they would have won the game. Hey, doing something different does not mean different results. We don't know what would have happened. But it's more about increasing your odds of victory, increasing your chances of winning, putting your team in the best position to be successful. Funny how that theme keeps coming up tonight, Bick. But if you're playing Pettersson 13 minutes in a game where you need another goal to put a team away, or you'd like another goal to put another team away, you won, it's great. You know, I'm not sure I like that.
Yeah, but you got to worry about how many minutes you're giving to Justin Dowling as well. They're paired together there, 11 minutes and 37 seconds. You put Elias Pettersson out there more. Just more means more minutes for Justin Dowling, too.
I understand.
No,
and God bless Tyler Mott, but he played 17:40.
Yeah. Works hard.
Yeah, I love him. I love Tyler Mott and his work.
He's got a commitment to working hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, ice time is a reflection of trust. You got to earn that trust back. You want to get to 19 minutes a night? Be Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
Be that version of Elias Pettersson that we know you can be. And whether that's the guy we saw in the bubble or just the guy we saw for 3 seasons, be that. And you'll be amazed at how much more ice time you get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's playing closer to it, you know?
Marginally, yes.
Yeah. Bick is still unimpressed. But I get it, man. I mean, the bar can't be that low. I understand.
Yeah.
The bar really can't be that low. All right, let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650. Let's go to Vancouver, where Reynolds is on the line. Reynolds, thanks for hanging on, man. What do you have for us tonight?
Well, you know, obviously it's a team effort, and it's good that the Canucks won 2-1, but to be honest with you, I really don't like an eking out victory. I'd rather the Canucks just outright destroy the competition, specifically the Habs. And I think Jim Benning's a big reason why they're not doing it to it. I mean, obviously, they have Tyler Toffoli. Your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Reynolds. As far as Toffoli goes, tonight Toffoli didn't make a difference, and this season Toffoli struggled just like the Habs have struggled.
Yeah.
So right now you're not looking at the Toffoli situation, but yes, I understand overall and different things. Like, I don't want to get into the Toffoli convo too far, but yes, I mean, one reason they went out and got Connor Garland this year, and hey, maybe that ended up working out better as far as getting him as a player, at least in the moment. Was because they weren't able to keep Toffoli. So it makes you go out and try to do other things to try to replace that player. So maybe that is what Reynolds is getting at. But so far this season, Tyler Toffoli has not been a difference maker. But of course, just like people texting in, it is fair to be critical of the general manager like Reynolds was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. nobody's going to sit here and say Jim Benning's done some fantastic job. They have, I think they're 26th or 27th. In points,
yeah.
Since he's arrived, and that includes expansion teams. So it's not been very good for Jim Benning.
No.
If we're talking about the Toffoli thing, it wasn't as big of a mistake as last year, and it doesn't look as good suddenly this year.
Yeah,
it's just, like, the truth just lies in between. The people that are pro-Benning can't say, well, he made a great decision on Toffoli because of this year, and the people that are anti-Benning say, oh, he made a terrible decision because of last year. The truth just lies in the middle, and ultimately it probably was a bad decision, but it's Tyler Toffoli's two polarizing seasons can't make your opinion on the move.
No.
Be as polarizing.
I get it. And if we're fair, if we talk about that situation, that was also, you have to also get the green light to be able to sign a player.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get the okay from ownership to give him a contract, well, how much can the general manager do as well? Hey, it's just about being fair. We can be critical and a lot to criticize, but just being fair about the facts and what happened. A lot of texts coming in. Agreeing with you, Beck Emily texted in when it comes to Elias Pettersson. Love Petey's one-timer, but he should be shooting those all the time. He's still hesitant. So that is Emily texting in as well.
You got to keep shooting, man.
Yeah, keep shooting. A lot of good texts coming in. We'll get back to some of these coming up in a minute, but let's go to Montreal where Ron is on the line. Ron, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Well, you know, it wasn't a loss, but let me put this win in perspective. Arizona won tonight, 1-0. And you know who scored for Arizona?
Take yeah, Antoine Roussel. And a beautiful back, a saucer pass from Louis Erickson on the play as well, nonetheless.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, like I said, it wasn't lost, but, you know, as far as a win, you really have to go back to Boston. And the point of concern there is that they could not take control of the game when they have a lead. And that's a big problem. And, you know, I want to echo the sentiment of some of the callers and actually yourself in the last couple of nights. I think potentially the talent level is there, but you need somebody to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
And even you're talking about, you know, trade this guy, trade that guy, you know, trade Brock Besser. If you trade Brock Besser, you need a Brock Besser in return. And let me make a prediction. If they would trade Brock Besser, wherever he goes, he'll score 40 goals, and whoever they get will continue on where Brock Besser left off, which kind of brings me to my question. If they can find a new coach and replace Tavis Green, because I think his time is up. I mean, you know, to put Tyler Myers out in the last 3 minutes, it's ridiculous. It's unconscionable. But how long does it take for a new coach to break in?
Well, I mean, that's the big question. Thanks for the phone call, Ron. I mean, it's always different. I mean, I hear about the coach's bump, and yes, initially, usually it's what happens for a few games, but it doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Coaches get hired and it gets worse, or it doesn't get better. Like, it's not a guarantee. So there is something to how do you click with a group as well, even if you do bring somebody else in.
The coach's bump is a theory.
Yes. And
in
there
individual
is
cases, yeah, you have to gauge the practicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the theory. I think it's real. But you have to look at individual cases. Is this team going to succeed under a coach's bump and all that sort of stuff? So, you know, I get the question, Ron, but it's really more about, are you finding a coach that's not just going to give you a bump in the here and now? Are you finding a coach that's going to have in his hands the careers of Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes in their most important years? Like, that's why these decisions right now are so important. Mm-hmm. It's not just that, oh, we got to get a new coach and get a new GM, we're tired of these guys. It's they are going to be charged with ushering the careers of Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes in their prime. Let that sink in. It's like these are their opportunities to succeed the most, get the most points, have the most individual success, have the most team success. You really have to take your time with this and find the right person. I'm not worried about the next 15 games. If and when there's a coaching change, I'm not worried about the next 15 games. I'm worried about the next 500.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what it's about. And I totally understand. And I know we had Vish calling in earlier and saying, hey, can they get back in the playoff race really earnestly or whatever it is? And hey, it seems very unlikely. It is not impossible, but like we went over, it is a very arduous task. And even if you do an incredible job, maybe you get to 88, 90 points. And that is going on an absolute heater the rest of the way. And that might still be short. But it's more about, like you said, long term. figuring out what works, what doesn't, and what you need to do to be a consistently competitive organization with this core moving forward. Let's go back to the phone boards. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We go to Bernie in Kelowna, who is on the line. Bernie, what is on your mind tonight?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
Listen, you know, two bad teams played tonight. One had to be a winner. And in my opinion, they should hire Rutherford as their GM and let him pick his own coach. Thanks, boys.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. That is Bernie in Kelowna. We'll see what happens. That's a suggestion. Others have texted in and said, Mark Bergevin, bring him in. And do you think that is possible? Hey, I could see the organization, if they want to make a change, being interested to talk to Mark Bergevin. A lot of hurdles to overcome with him. One, whether what you believe when it comes to the moral question, as far as it may you pick, his Blackhawks involvement, even though there was no, he was exonerated of anything. So I know there's that question that people have concerns about, and there are legitimate questions to be asked as well. And then, of course, does he want to come to another Canadian market? Does he want to be a GM? Would he rather be a president? Is this organization willing to pay him the type of money he may want? And as you heard reported by Elliot Friedman, he was looking for something north of $4 million that the higher end GMs and executives get paid. Is that something this organization would be willing to do? Those are the things that all come into play when you're looking at certain GM candidates and whether this team would be interested in them or not. So a lot of hurdles to pass for that to even be a consideration. Now, we heard Elias Pettersson post-game give some comments about how he's been playing recently, and he has some other interesting things to say about winning this game and where this team's at and how they start rectifying all the issues they've had so far. Here's Elias Pettersson talking about his nice winning the game, but they still have to learn to play a full 60 minutes.
It feels great. I mean, we battle hard game. Still think we kind of got away from a game at the end of both the first and second period. Got a little sloppy, turnover, a few pucks, but I think other than that, we played a good game.
On your goal, how did you see that play develop?
I was just prepared to shoot. I picked that I was going far side and tried to shoot as well as possible, and yeah, went home.
Did it feel familiar?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely felt good to score again, and especially on a one-timer like that.
You're obviously in a role right now that we haven't seen you before with this team, maybe since your first game, you know, where you're playing a little less and you're playing down the line. Has that been difficult to embrace, or how do you deal with
it? I mean, I just play. I mean, I'm going to play whatever coach puts me, and I'm going to try play my best at that role, so I embrace it and just play.
Elias, you hit the post in Philadelphia, yeah. Boston last night, and then you scored tonight. Is your shot coming? Do you feel like your shot's coming?
Yeah, I mean, of course, obviously, I haven't played my best so far this season, and shots hasn't been there, but I've just been grind a lot after every practice, shoot extra, and so it was nice to get one today.
How important was Thatcher's performance tonight?
He's always good for us. He always gives us a chance to win, and today he was Thatcher again. So it's awesome to see him perform like that every game.
Must have been particularly nice to see that double padded stack
there. Oh, I know. Yeah, I was fired up on the bench, so that was cool to see.
Was it good to get one on Montreal? Like, last year, you struggled to get a win against them. Now you go to their place and get a win. How good must that feel?
It felt great. I mean, they haven't started their season as well either. So, I mean, both teams are fighting for points. And, of course, last year they... I don't know how the game series went between them, but they definitely won. So it was great to get the one today.
I don't know if you'd be aware, but you guys haven't won in regulation here since 2007.
Oh.
Is there anything to play in here that
made it more of a challenge for you guys?
I like playing here, especially with the fans. It's always a loud rink playing here. They got a great fan base, so it's always fun to play here. And I didn't know that fact, so it's good to break that.
We'll move to Zoom with a question from Farhan Molshi, TSN.
Hey, apologies if you've been asked this earlier, but I know your ice time has gone down a little bit the last few games. How difficult have you found that? Has it motivated you at all, or has it just been, you know, disappointing?
I mean, where do I even look? There we go. I just embrace it. I mean, whatever coach play me, I'm gonna try to do my best. And I mean, if we're winning, I'm not gonna complain. I'm not gonna complain or anything. If we continue playing like this, I'm happy.
We'll go to Ben Kuzma, Post Media.
Elias, we always talk about confidence, and it can be a fleeting thing. Not only your goal, just wondering what your goal did for you, Elias, because you seem your pace seemed to be better, or you seem to be engaging as better, and you drew that third period a minor. Is that all from confidence, from just maybe finally getting one?
I mean, I feel everything is confidence, and of course, slow start for me personally. Been having a tendency to overthink, kind of gotten away from hard work. So today I was just thinking to work as hard as possible, and it was definitely nice to get one on the power play too.
That is Elias Pettersson. After a 2-1 win, he scores a goal on the power play, gets that slap shot off, that clapper, top cheese, beating Jake Allen, helping the Canucks win 2-1 over the Habs. And like he was asked, and he said, oh, Canucks haven't won in regulation in Montreal since 2007. So a big accomplishment, but hey, the Habs have 6 wins on the season. The Canucks have 7. If it was any year the Canucks were going to win in regulation, I guess it was this year. So this is what you got.
There were 13 wins between them?
Yeah.
And there are teams in the league right now that have got more than 13
wins.
Yeah,
it's wild. It's, it just shows you how far they have to go. And I know I think it was Dave and Ladysmith who called in, and we had a debate about winning 13 games.
Jay and Ladysmith.
Oh, someone knows Dave and Ladysmith.
Was it Dave?
It was Dave.
Oh, okay.
It was Dave. I'm pretty sure it was Dave. And he called in again, actually, and he brought it up, and he said, no, he mentioned 13 regulation wins. But regardless, and this is about something Marcus also mentioned, I know that they only have 7 wins in 23 games, but they're still on pace for like 24 wins this year. Even bad teams in the National Hockey League win 30 games. They always do. In an 82-game season, you are very hard-pressed to find teams win less than 30 games. Like, even teams that pick last have like 30 wins. You know what I mean? Like, that's how many games teams win, because hockey is, you know, random in that way, and, you know, there is a lot more parity than people want to believe. So, yes, the Canucks have been really, really bad. It will regress in a positive way, but also shows you how far they got to go to get back into anything.
No, for sure. And when you really think about it, it's like, hey, 82 points is a 500 season. Like, 94 is not that far away. Like, Those are thin margins. And we look at 94 as like this, oh, amazing total. It's like, no, it's not that far away from 500. And that's why you have to create, you know, win in the margins. So you decrease or increase your margin for error. You can smooth out and say, hey, this is how we're going to get to a stage where we're getting 94. And so what's the inverse of that? 70 points.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. They got to win 23 out of their final, 59 games to get to 30 wins. To get to 40 wins to be a playoff team, that means you got to win 33 out of your final 59 games. That just shows you, to those asking about can you get back into the playoffs, that's how big the ask is for you to get back into that type of position. Not to mention losing games in overtime to get those extra points, which also matter as well. We'll keep the conversation going. Strong thoughts also from Thatcher Demko, who was brilliant for the Canucks tonight, helping them win 2-1 in Montreal. We'll get to Ian McIntyre as well. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. It is Satyar Shah with Vic Nazar, and this is a Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthodontics on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You're listening to the Kid Tech Footwear and Orthotics Canucks Postgame Show, bringing you the most Canucks coverage in BC, only on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's good, really good. I think it's been pretty solid. Last handful of games. I think yesterday we gave up one or two, but I thought our system was good, our work was good. It was kind of a couple of weird plays that ended up in the back of the net, and guys didn't lose confidence. I thought today we did a really good job, and a couple big ones in the third there to make sure that we held on to the lead.
Canucks netminder Thatcher Demko credits the PK for being a bit better, helping the team out, winning 2-1 in Montreal against the Habs. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bic Nizar. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. A lot of good thoughts coming in and a lot of questions as well. This one from Tavi. Y'all fans talking playoffs. Vegas and Colorado are in the wild card without Nate and Jack. No playoffs this year. That is from Tavi texting in. Some have hope and are hoping. Hey, listen, you know what sports is? It is part of having hope. And I get it. Hope can be a dangerous thing and all that sort of stuff. And you got to be careful what type of hope you buy into and all that. I understand. But part of sports is watching the unthinkable happen, the incredible happen, the impossible happen, right? I mean, that's part of the joy we have.
It's unscripted.
It is. And it can be great theater in a single game, in a single moment, and in a season. So I understand. Hey, I'm not going to begrudge anybody for wanting something to happen or wanting something exciting to occur here for the team. I just want to illuminate how difficult it is. And I'm not betting on it happening because of how difficult it is, how big this ask is for this team. Playoffs are a miracle this year, but miracles happen, apparently. I will stay tuned in. That is Duncan texting in as well.
Why not believe in miracles? No, look, I'm just entertaining what people are texting in about. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen. But
No, we're just...
Hey, yeah. It's December. It's miracle season.
I suppose. It's almost December. Can you believe that? It's almost December.
Let's not even get into that.
You know what I've become, by the way, Bic? The type of person that puts up their Christmas stuff in late November.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's what I become. Yeah.
Just don't take it down and they're like, oh, I put it up in January.
No. It's nice though. It's very cozy. You come home, especially after a long, tough Canucks game.
Maybe that's what the Canucks need.
Yes. Some festive.
Get back into the locker room here at Rogers Arena and there's a tree set up. It's hope and promise and miracles.
Yeah. You just have like little reindeer and stuff like that, some ornaments. Makes you feel in the festive season. Maybe that changes things.
A hockey stick ornament.
Yeah.
You know, top in the tree, you could put, someone. The Sedins at the top or something like that.
Great text. Hope is past Chilliwack.
Hashtag facts only.
Yeah, very true. Where did the Sedins fit in the future is a question to our text inbox. And, the Sedins didn't come in here to just be figureheads, right? They came in here to dig their teeth in and figure out what it takes to be an executive, to figure out what they want to do in the National Hockey League and what part of an organization they want to work in. And that is very much still happening within the organization, right? They've been doing a lot of different things and they're learning and trying to figure out what's going on. How ready they are for a role and when is a very difficult question to answer from our perch. I do believe in some way that as much as, yes, it was good PR bringing the Sedins in, but there was some actual earnest consideration that one day perhaps they can be two individuals that run the organization or have more significant roles in some capacity. That was not expected to be this year. And to be honest, I think it's a very tough ask, and perhaps even a tough sell, as much as they're beloved, to ask them to step in and be those guys right away. So what I see with them, best case, is they continue what they're doing, and if something does change or occur, and when that happens, there will be somebody else above them who's going to be an executive. How long that person wants to be an executive and what role they have is yet to be determined, because we don't know yet. Could the Sedins in a couple of years in some way have bigger roles? Yes, that is possible. But that is something I think this organization looked at and said, okay, maybe a couple of years at the earliest. And we have Benning for another couple of years. The hope was you have a decent year this year. Maybe next year you come back with Benning as well. That's a decent sell. You can live with it. And perhaps at that point, you can transition to a succession plan with the Sedins. Perhaps that was some a grand hope at the end. It looks very difficult for that to occur. So how do the Sedins fit in the future? Who knows? But I do believe they will have more significant roles as time goes on.
And if there's new faces like entering into the organization, that is a question I would be asking. It's, hey, these two guys that you brought into the organization that you clearly want to develop,
mm-hmm.
how do they play into my role? Right? Because I think that's important. I think a lot of people would be welcoming to Daniel Henrik Sedin, of course, but yeah. Is it going to look awkward for someone to take a job and have to look over the shoulder on day one to say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm supposed to help these guys, but am I helping them to take over my job, or am I just helping them for the sake of helping them? And let's be real. This is not some real world, hey, go hire my nephew and just to be an intern in my company. This is a on-the-job apprenticeship of learn what you enjoy, figure yes. out if hockey ops is something you want to do,
and what part of it you want to
do. And what department do you want to explore into? Do you want to say player development?
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't welcome them into that player development side? Do you want to go into the business side of things and look at the president's role? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go into scouting and be on the grind? Do you want to go into cap management? Do you want to go into general manager? Do you even want to go into coaching? Like, all of this is on the table. It's for them to figure out, and you have to afford them the space
mm-hmm.
and time to figure that out. And what has happened? Losing has accelerated that timeline. Losing has accelerated your timeline on what you talked about for general manager Jim Benning and making a decision on him and all that sort of stuff. It shouldn't accelerate your timeline on those two people figuring out what they want to do in their post-retirement life.
Yeah. And one thing that really stood out to me today when Habs owner Jeff Molson was speaking after they made sweeping changes in the organization, relieving Mark Bergevin of his duties and hiring Jeff Gorton, not to be a general manager, but to essentially be the head of the operation, however that ends up in the end, a president title, whatever. That's what Jeff Gorton is going to do. What Jeff Gorton is going to do is bring in a general manager to work with him. And what Jeff Molson mentioned was, if he could go back a couple of years, maybe he would hire a president to help out Mark Bergevin, because he now realizes the job. You require two people to do the job. It's not the job of one person. So if you kind of look at it in that way down the road, can you bring somebody in that down the road makes way and still stays in a higher senior role to one of the Twins or the Twins themselves, right? That could also kind of be at play here. So no matter what you do, to your point, you don't need to accelerate the timeline. Because no matter who you bring in or what, however you structure your organization, the future of NHL front offices is there will be a way to bring somebody in. What did the Vegas Golden Knights do?
Accumulated picks.
That's what they did to one degree, but also with their front office. With their front office, what they did was they had their general manager, but they also had McCrimmon working behind them.
Yeah.
And McCrimmon, they knew that, okay, you're gonna be a general manager somewhere. So what do? Well, we moved George McPhee into a president role, and then McCrimmon became a general manager. If down the road, the Sedins show the wherewithal and the ability, and if they want to do that, no matter who you bring in or who's the general manager, there's always space to be able to bring them up and have somebody else above them as well and have them do the job. So to your point, don't accelerate the timeline. Let them still figure things out. And whatever you do with your organization, make sure to have somebody who knows how to build a program.
Internal succession plans.
Yes.
And internal solutions. Build out not just succession plans, but also, let people succeed in their job and let them train for their next job. It's not just, we like this person in the organization, and if an opening happens up, then we'll move them in. Kelly McCurman was doing that job.
Yeah.
And it's then, okay, now is the right time for McPhee to take on a bigger role, and the next person to step into that, the role that they've kind of been shouldering as well. It doesn't need to be this delegation of assignment, and then one person departs or moves away, and now everything gets assumed by you. It's how do you create that success, that cycle of success?
Yes.
And if you start doing that, like, these are just simple processes that the Canucks right now don't do. Forget about the resources all these jobs have to actually succeed. Just what levels of rotational success have you built in here?
Yeah.
And they just don't. They just haven't had that.
And that's something they got to build out. It is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics. Canucks win in Montreal 2-1 over the Habs, Sat and Bick. We're going to have Ian McIntyre join us in a few minutes. Keep your thoughts coming into the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to some of those as time goes on. But as we promised, Thatcher Demko, huge tonight for the Canucks as they win 2-1. And here he is talking about how it was nice to get a big win.
Yeah, I mean, been playing a better game, I thought, and like you said, just not getting the results. So it's nice to see one go tonight. And, you know, on a back-to-back traveling from Boston last night, it's a tough setup for us, but I was proud of the guys showing up, having a good start, and playing a pretty solid 60 minutes. So head to Ottawa and try to do it again.
What did you think of the performance of the PK on Friday?
It's great, really good. I think it's been pretty solid. Last handful of games, you know, I think yesterday we gave up one or two, but I thought our system was good, our work was good. It was kind of a couple weird plays that ended up in the back of the net, and you know, guys didn't lose confidence. I thought today we did a really good job, and you know, a couple big ones in the third there to make sure that we held on to the lead.
How did you see the play develop on that pad stack save late?
He was ahead of me, so I didn't really have anyone on him. So he's going to be able to kind of put it where he wanted. Just trying to find something there.
Beside the save there, you had some others against the line. One that was robbery. I mean, a big save there. Your teammates had a lot of shots, but on your end, I mean, you had to make those saves. I mean, how critical was that for you to make that because of the situation? Four straight losses, the fact that the team has not been having a great start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, wanting to find some more key saves in my game the last little bit here. I don't think my game's been bad, but I think, you know, there's always room for improvement, and, you know, it seems like we're losing by one goal every night. So, you know, it was an important game for us today, and like I said, they're just glad to find some solutions when we needed it. And, you know, you could feel it right from puck drop. It was going to be a tight game going both ways. And there wasn't going to be much out there. So every play was pretty important.
Did it feel any different in the room before the game because it's Montreal, because it's against a Canadiens team that obviously has struggled as much as you guys have?
No, I mean, every game in this league is tough, you know. It's, they got a good team over there. You know, it's kind of similar to us where if you look at us on paper, we have a pretty solid team, and, you know, maybe we're not getting the results that we'd like, but that doesn't mean that we're not capable of showing up and playing well and getting wins. And it's the same for any team in the league, whether, you know, you're top of the league or bottom of the league or what have you. So you got to just prepare the same way every game.
When we make a list of sort of the Canucks' problem so far, the goaltending is well down there. But do you feel responsible at all? Like,
I mean, yeah, of course. You know, I'm not just standing off to the side. You know, I'm right there with the group, and you know, I think, you know, everyone can. You know, I think we've been playing well, and, you know, it's just kind of weird how it's been working the last handful of games, and you know, in no way am I not a part of that. I take pride in, you know, being in the mix with the guys and being in the trenches with them when it's not going well, and being on the top with them when it is. And, you know, we're going to look to turn things around. I know you guys have been kind of hard on us lately, and probably deservedly so. And, you know, I don't think anyone in that room has given up yet. So it's a great win tonight, and, you know, we'll take it one day at a time here and see what we can do.
That is Thatcher Demko after a 2-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens. Big performance from him. This is the Canucks Central post-game show on Sportsnet 650, Sat and Bic. A lot of texts coming in this one from Jim Benning. Sidney's as GM, unlikely. They don't seem like they live day to day. I would wager 6 years and $6 million they will be coaching. That is a text coming in.
It's
in jest.
Good. Yeah, it's pretty good. And we were talking about the holiday spirit.
Oh, fantastic.
Casey texts in, maybe the team can get into the holiday spirit by celebrating Festivus. Start with Miller and Horvat airing their grievances, then Benning and Green will wrestle in the feats of strength. Whoever loses gets let go first. That is Casey into the 650 Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
Yes, that is the text inbox, and a lot of fun coming into the inbox as well. We appreciate that. Canucks win 2-1 over the Montreal Canadiens. Let's bring in Ian McIntyre into the conversation from Montreal. And Ian, we usually have the intro for you, but because we're pressed on time, we'll just get right into it tonight.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought it was nice just for these guys to get a W after everything going on. I'm not sure it changes anything, but it was just nice to see them win this game tonight.
Yeah, I'm a little disoriented myself by it because it's been so long since, I've seen a road victory. But yeah, it was, you know what, it was so bad it was good. And I don't mean that as demeaning as it sounds, but, you know, these are two teams, both desperate with their effort based on where they were in the standings, and flawed enough that there were scoring chances galore and saves galore, and it made for a fun, entertaining game. And who would have thought the Canucks would actually win one of these?
There was a question asked to Travis Green in post game of, you know, was some of these chances kind of out of structure? Did you feel that, you know, maybe this game was more about two bad teams kind of playing a game of shinny, or was it chances that were created and earned?
I think it was a bit of both, Bic. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the official and scoring is wildly different from city to city. The official scoring is wildly different from NHL city to city. But on the score sheet tonight, the official turnover count was 40, 20 for each team. Natural Stat Trick had 53 scoring chances. There were 76 shots. So, yes, the imperfections of these teams had a lot to do with it. But I don't think we can disregard the level of desperation, which is another factor in sports. You know, intensity, what we always talk about. And in that respect, although these were two teams from near the bottom of the standings, they had elite level intensity tonight because, you know, it meant that much. And although, you know, you wouldn't get players to acknowledge that sort of they look at the opponent and they judge, well, what's a more winnable game or not. But I'm sure the Canucks were aware that the Canadians have struggled every bit as much as they have. They've already made their seismic changes in or at least started them in management and the course that the franchise is going. And, you know, there's always something whenever the Canucks come to Montreal and there's fans in the building and you're seeing that famous red jersey. So I think tonight's game did mean a lot to Vancouver. I think it probably meant quite a bit to Montreal because they would be seeing the same things in the Canucks, you know, a vulnerable team, a team that's, you know, right beside them at the bottom of the standings. And for the sake of pride, nobody wants to sink below the other. And so now the Canucks have moved two whole points ahead of the Canadiens.
Well, they have, and they have 7 wins to Montreal 6, and, you know, it's, you know, Bic and I were remarking, and Bic was mentioning that there are teams that have more than 13 wins, and these teams have 13 wins combined, so that kind of tells you how far behind they are with their performances so far this season. But one player who obviously we talked so much about is Elias Pettersson, and You know, he was far better tonight. Scores a goal on the power play. Top cheese. Great one-timer. The one we're used to seeing, we haven't seen recently. But he also mentioned post-game that he wasn't working hard enough. He understands how much harder he needs to work again. What did you make of those comments and where his game is at right now?
Well, I think it's a great acknowledgement by him. And I think that, you know, he's always self-aware, I think, to the point where maybe sometimes he's too introspective and trying to figure out himself. And he said that as well, that he overthinks it at times. But I think he has, you know, embraced this reassignment, this demotion, which, you know, for a player of his ability and pride, a guy who wants to be the best. And by that, I mean, it literally, he wants to be the best player in the world. That's a lofty ambition, but I know that's what he aspires to. Well, when you're in theory, the ninth best forward on your team or seventh best, because you're playing on the third line, you know, that's not easy. That can be difficult on your pride and your ego. But I think he has worked hard on this road trip. And, you know, that line had a terrific game in Columbus, but didn't get rewarded. They were quieter in Boston, but I thought they were good tonight, even though, you know, Pettersson's goal did come on the power play, and we're still waiting for him to score one at even strength this year. I thought that line did work hard, and you know, I think there's probably some method to the madness from Travis, not just in terms of trying to cut back on Pettersson's ice time, because he has been struggling, and get him to kind of embrace a role where it's required that he's going to have to, you know, win puck battles and grind it out to some extent. But I also think it's significant that he's playing with Pod Coles too, who, you know, is as inconsistent as most rookies are, but always has his motor running, is always trying to go forward and trying to work and trying to get to the puck and get the puck back. And I think that's a good thing for Petey right now as well.
Coaches don't love making changes after a W. So is this something we see carry forward as well? You know, we'd love to see Pettersson playing 17, 18, 19 minutes a night, but they get 2 points. And do we see this play out?
Well, I think we're going to see the same lines.
Yeah.
But I think it's up to Elias and his line. Like if they generate more, either they're all going to play more or Elias is going to be pushed back up the lineup again. And his ice time tonight, 13 minutes. But keep in mind, they only had two power plays and they scored quite early on the first one. So, you know, his minutes tonight weren't as alarmingly low as they've been in a couple of the games recently, but they're still obviously very low. But no, they're not going to, because they win this game, and maybe they win in Ottawa too. Imagine that, a two-game winning streak, if that could come to pass. But they're not going to keep him on the third line playing 13, you know, 12 to 14 minutes a night just because the team's having success. If he gets his game going, he'll be up the lineup in a heartbeat. In fact, tonight, I can't remember exactly what the circumstance was, whether it was after a penalty kill, but he was out. He was out with Miller, and I think Besser was on with him. But anyways, he was out with top players again for at least one shift. And I don't mind this. I would, in fact, I would like to see Brock Besser play somewhere farther down the lineup and play less, and let somebody else play more. Because I think if the player embraces it, it can help him. And it certainly, at the very least, it gets his attention, but it also gets everybody else's attention. And that's not such a bad thing when you're trying to keep your team engaged and you're trying to keep them motivated. If you display, you know, put your money where your mouth is, and when you always talk about accountability and merit, and if you show that to others, if you're willing to, you know, take 5 minutes a game away from, or 7 minutes a game away from Elias Pettersson, you know, that's a motivating thing for a guy who might only play 10 minutes, that he better make the most of his, or his minutes might be down to four. So I don't think it's a bad thing. And for now, I think it's gotten a little bump, but it's not a long-term thing.
No, I don't. Yeah, obviously not a long-term thing. And obviously for this team to win more than it loses, it can't be a long-term thing because of Elias Pettersson's importance and the need for him to be at his best. And one of the things, obviously, with everything going on with this team, I'm not sure one win really changes anything in the big picture, Ian, as far as moves behind the bench or at the GM chair. But I do think what it does is allow them perhaps to at least buy time till you get home. And then who knows what happens on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of game to game, and yet we have seen some the odd terrible game where nothing happened.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. It would be scary to try to get inside ownership's head and figure out what they're thinking, other than it's obviously in stark contrast to what we've seen from Montreal, this ongoing procrastination, because they are thinking about it. It's not like they're not thinking about making changes. They're just trying to figure out when and how to do it and whether you need the next guy ready to go, the successor ready to go before you fire someone, or whether you go with interim guys. And this organization is still trying to figure that out, whereas the Canadiens acted very decisively in the last couple of days to sort out their problem. But I do think it is impressive. And you know, people might say, oh, this is too slim a silver lining. But to me, with all the chaos and all the turmoil and you know, what's been reported and refuted, that the team, the players, are still clearly quite engaged. You know, they haven't checked out. You know, since the start of the Pittsburgh game, you know, they've been playing hard. And they could have won. This could have been their third straight win, because they were definitely the better team in Columbus. They weren't the better team in Boston, but they did have the lead in the third period in a game in which they'd been very competitive. So this is, you know, the third game in a row where they've had a very good effort. And again, let's acknowledge the flaws. Let's acknowledge the quality of the opposition. But, you know, the players are working hard. They're still trying.
No, they are, and I do think that does alleviate, at least internally for them, it gives them something to consider, at least short term. But ultimately, like you said, we're all living day to day to find out ultimately what happens with this organization. Ian, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to chatting with you again on Wednesday when the Canucks wrap up this trip in Ottawa against the Senators. And as always, we look forward to reading your latest on Sportsnet.ca.
And thank goodness the three of us have the assurity of a paycheck tomorrow.
Yes. Thank goodness for that.
We haven't got as much in the bank as probably these guys in pro sports either.
No.
We need the ongoing
paycheck. Wait, who's getting paid on a Tuesday?
Well, I meant it figuratively.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah,
Play along. For once. Just go along with my premise.
No, I understood what you were laying down there, Ian. I totally understand what you were saying. But yes.
All right.
And you're on with Bick tomorrow. Is this correct?
I am. Tomorrow afternoon from Ottawa.
All right.
Taking the train in the morning. I always love that. When you're
a train. Nice.
Take a train between cities. Apparently the Canucks were going by train tonight.
Oh, beautiful.
Or maybe it's tomorrow, but they're going by train too.
Luxury transportation.
That's downtown nice. To downtown in 2 hours. That's your buffer time just to go to the airport these days. So
no,
it's a good idea.
That is good. And it's nice. It's nice to be on a train. I don't mind being on a train. All right. Anyways, thanks, Ian.
Talk to you both on Wednesday.
You got it. That is Ian McIntyre from Montreal, where the Canucks won 2-1 over the Habs. Always a pleasure chatting with him. And yes, what time is he on with you tomorrow, Bick?
Somewhere between noon to 3.
Somewhere. Bick is unsure on the exact time. But yes,
Yannick Hansen is at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
We know that. Yeah. And Ian McIntyre is on the show as well. Bick on from 12 to 3 on Sportsnet 650. I'm Satyar Shah on with Randeep Janda, Dan Riccio, Monday to Friday, 3 to 7. On the People Show on Sportsnet 650. Special thanks to Josh Elliott Wolf, our producer, Lena as well, for all her hard work. And she's also going to be on OT, which is coming up next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.